people think I'm out here going, oh, these people are lying. There's kernels and elements of truth in some of the things that were said about me, but they're not what people think.
Noel, do you feel betrayed?
Not really. I don't feel betrayed. I think that people took opportunities to express their anger. I think people took opportunities to express their what they felt was the story that they wanted to tell. And ultimately, I don't think that you can feel betrayed if people are angry at you, or, you know, whether you're aware or not. I feel like what I'm annoyed about is that a newspaper, or particularly said journalist, decided to craft a narrative out of separate stories of potential upset or embellishment at times, or out of context stories at times, and that's really where we are. There's no you can't feel betrayed. You know, you ultimately have to look at yourself and say, oh my goodness, did I upset people that much? You know, did I upset people in a way that they felt that they had to do this? And so, you know, when you look at yourself and you go, oh man, you know what? Maybe I did speak quite harshly to that person. Like, your question was quite harsh there as an opener. You know, maybe you look at yourself and you say that and you go, okay, cool. You know, maybe I was involved in that conversation that was inappropriate, but they were all involved in it too. But when you're made the scapegoat and when you're the target, you can't say that. You know, it'd be very easy for me to go, well, hold on a second. This person, that person, this person, that person, this person, that person. I could quite easily do that. I have enough information. I could quite easily do that. And those are things that will come out in court in due time. But to feel betrayed is no, because, like, you know, there are complexities to and nuances to almost everything that happens. So that's where it is, really. Mm.
And have you asked yourself why this is all happening to you?
Many times. Many times I've asked that question, and, you know, it ultimately comes down to having to really look at yourself, as I said, and going, you know, is the drive that you have, is the passion that you have, is the work rate that you have, is the absolute focused determination that you have, is that intimidating to other people?
That's an easy yes, isn't it?
It's an easy yes, because yeah. I was about to say, you're a businessman, you know that the vast majority of people do not have that drive. The vast majority of people do not have that passion. They do not have that, you know, and when you are passionate and driven and you're focused and I'm going to do this today, this morning, we start at 9:15, be here at 9:15, people rock up at 9:20, 9:30. I'm annoyed. Mm. I'm annoyed. Like, I'm annoyed. Yeah. Don't come at 9:20. Mm. In fact, come at 9:05 so you know where you're going. Go get a quick coffee and be ready to start at the time that we said. You know, that's just my personality. That's how I've always been. And so, that's kind of where I come from on that as well. Mm.
And do you think people are intimidated by people who have that relentless ethic?
Yes.
And do you think it's because it puts a mirror on the insecurities and failings of themselves?
Yes.
Like, if everyone else is lazy, you can justify being lazy. If everyone else is working really hard, you've got to look in the mirror, haven't you?
The short answer to that is yes.
Yeah.
That's a very short answer.
Can we go into that? Because
yes. Yeah. The longer answer is also yes, they're intimidated. But it's not from... Sometimes people have the want, they don't have the ability. Sometimes people have the ability, they don't have the drive. Sometimes people have the drive, they don't have the talent. You know, so it's a combination of all those things. Because I'm not the best at anything I do. I'm not the best actor, I'm not the best writer, I'm not the best director, I'm not the best producer. I'm not the best at any of those things. I can do them all, and I work harder than most people I knew. I work harder than most people I know. So you combine being good at all of those things, not exceptional, you know, maybe I'm selling myself short, being very good at all of those things, but not exceptional. You combine that with work rate, determination, you're not beating me. And people don't like that. And when you sound like me and you're from where I'm from as well, that's an added sort of distraction for people. It's an added sort of like, well, how come he's there and I'm not? How come he's got a show and I don't? How come they're doing this and I don't? You know, I've got messages from people where it's like other people have complained to them. How come he's living in this area? Well, how come he's got these TV shows? Or how come he's doing that? And they don't see the 4 years of work that went into that. They don't see that the moment one finished, I wasn't sitting there drinking champagne. You know, I remember being at a premiere once, and I've been to a few, but I was at this one particular one, and someone said to me, "Are you excited about your premiere tonight? What do you do to celebrate? What do you do to relax?" And I was like, "I'm not excited." And they were like, "Why not?" I was like, "I'm already thinking about the next three things. I'm already thinking about the next three things. I never was a person," and I touched on this on something else, but I never was a person that would kind of be like, "Yeah, let's have a drink." I saw a tweet yesterday going, he sounds like fun on a night out. It's because I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do any of that kind of stuff. And I get they were being sarcastic, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, I was pretty boring because work was everything. And I didn't celebrate. I might have gone to the premiere, I wasn't celebrating. I'm already thinking about the next three things and the one after that as well, you know.
Does that ever make you lonely, being like that? Do you feel like you're misunderstood?
I'm definitely misunderstood. I'm definitely misunderstood. I'm definitely misunderstood. Yes and no. It didn't make me feel lonely. I was lonely. But I also didn't care. Does that make sense? I was so driven with what I didn't care. Like, I didn't care. I wasn't, you know, and I think, you know, maybe part of my issue and part of my intimidation towards people that where people feel intimidated, and part of my whole thing is that I kind of was just like so focused on what I was doing. I didn't always think about how other people felt. I can hold my hands up as a floor, like, you know, like I didn't always think about, you know, I wasn't out there bullying like they said, you know, but I definitely was like, right, we start at this time, be here at this time. I didn't really want to hear excuses. And maybe that was the businessman, the driven man in me. Like, I said, be here at this time. Someone, "Oh, but my mom, my dog's died." I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
Get a new dog. And I think at times I lacked empathy, probably, you know. And you know as well as I do, in business, you don't always have time for that. There's no time for that. It's like, we got to get shit done. But I think, you know, where I've learned is that maybe there are times I could have been like, okay, do you know what? You're half an hour late, I get it, your dog died. I'm sorry, can we fix up? And I didn't always do that.
Yeah. I don't think people who start businesses or entrepreneurs are warned early enough, they can be really lonely. I've at times felt really lonely.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, it's not even a question.
Did you care though?
I planned. Did I care that I was like, well, yeah.
You care?
At times it was like a sadistic, you know, I want to feel more pain because I know the more pain I feel and the more obsessed I get. You know, I'm training for my first fight at the moment. I've trained 18 times in 10 days. And everyone's telling me it's too fucking much. You're going to burn out. It's too fucking much. But my brain just will not.
I love
not,
that. What fight is it? Will not. Boxing or
anything? Yeah, it's boxing. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Someone called me out on a podcast where you were sat. And it just happened.
You're like, coming in, let's go.
Yeah. And I'm coming at it like an entrepreneur.
Oh,
like,
man.
Work harder.
Well, he's in trouble.
Work harder.
Work harder. Yeah, but that's that. It's so funny you say that, because that's who I was. That's who I am. That's what I do.
But that can cause carnage in your life, can't it?
Well,
push everyone away, get misunderstood.
Well, here you are, and then what happens is they find ways to look. You know, as I've said on other things, I'm not taking away what people said. You know, I've been involved in conversations that I shouldn't have been involved in, but they were too. Do you know what I mean? It's just I've been made the scapegoat. I've been made like, clutch my pearls, monocle popped out. He said this. He did this, and I'm like, well, hold on a second. There was five people there, or you said, but they want to make me the scapegoat, it's done.
And why are they wanting to make you the scapegoat?
I don't think that the people did, I think the newspaper did.
Yeah.
I think specific journalists did.
And why?
It was a low-hanging fruit. I won a career achievement award, I'm disliked. I'm everything that you just said. I'm brash. I'm a alpha male. I'm, you know, which is poison now to be like a man who likes sport and like it's poison.
I've got that one on this.
Right. So you know, you wanna make a point about someone. There's a few people that said, oh, he said this and he said that and he's done this and he's done that. And by the time the specific journalists were into it, they didn't care. Once they had the bit between the teeth, they didn't care what was, you know, they have this law which I think needs to be looked at, you know, and it's not about taking away journalistic freedom at all, right? But it's this law called, it's section 4 something or other, where they don't have to know that it's true. They just have to believe that it was. That's fucked up. They don't have to know that it's true. They just have to believe on balance that it was. So once you get 3 or 4 people going, well, he said this, he said that, and you get a few more people embellishing, they don't have to know that that's real. They can just say, well, we got these 3 or 4, so we, on balance, we can believe that the rest are real. And then you get in the situation that I'm in, you know. But it was really interesting of, you know, watching things get twisted and crafted and me sitting there going, well, that didn't happen, but you can't even talk. There was an interesting one where I was accused of bullying a member of crew that loaded a firearm incorrectly. And I think it was Article 3 or 4. And they said I berated this member of staff for loading a firearm incorrectly and, you know, made them feel bad in front of everyone and blah, blah, blah. And I did tell that member of staff off. I did. But that's not how the story went. The story went was like the stunt coordinator told that member of staff to put 3 squibs, which are the fake, into the debt, the firearm. And when the stunt coordinator walked away, the person said, I'm putting 6 in. And everybody laughed. And I stood there and I looked around. I said, yo, my man, he told you to put 3 in, put 3 in. And this was in South Africa, actually. So then the guy looks at me, you know, all the South African actors, they put their heads down. You know, and we know there's connotations there. They all put their heads down. And this crew member, South African crew member, looks at me and he's like, I'm putting 6 in. And I said, bro, your guy just said put fucking three. Then his 2 crew members start puffing their chest as well. So I'm standing there with these 3 guys puffing their chest, the South African actors all putting their heads down. And then I say to the guy, you can stand there looking at me all day long. If one of us doesn't have a job tomorrow, it ain't going to be me. This is my fucking show. Put 3. And, oh, it becomes a complaint or whatever. Like, not a complaint, but it becomes a thing. Mm. Right. Do you know what happens when you load firearms incorrectly on set? Should we go ask Alec Baldwin?
I was just going to say.
Should we go ask him?
It's fucking serious, isn't it?
Should we go ask him? Mm. Right. So I get labelled a bully for that. But what I've told you is what really happened. Mm. So it was interesting, like, watching these journalists craft this thing of, like, okay, we've got a couple of things that we think are real. And then taking all these other moments and turning them into something that then became what it became. Mm. And I can sit here. I mean, I could sit here with you right now and go through them one by one and show you. I'm not going to do that because I've got caught, and that's what I'm going to do that. And I'm not in trouble. I'm currently still taking the newspaper to court.
Right.
For people that don't know.
Yeah. What is the state of the media right now? Like, you can talk generically, because I think it's... We've got social media that's come in. Everyone that's got an opinion and they think it's really fucking important. I think people way overblow their own opinion importance. Anyone can say anything, damage someone's reputation, damage their brand, damage their business. People have talked shit about my business so much with no fact. And it costs me hundreds of thousands of pounds every time.
It's cost me everything.
Yeah.
It's cost me everything. I worked for 20 years. Built my company up from walking down Shepherd's Bush, going to my accountant, how do I start a company, to being bought in by a multi-billion dollar company? I lost all of that. I lost all of that. So it's cost me everything. But where do I think it is right now? I think there is a massive want, even from journalists, to be heard. There's so much noise that you have to cut through and be heard. So I think there are journalists that kind of want a bit of fame. They kind of want a little bit of, they want to be able to cut through and they want that attention. And the best way you get attention is by having that scoop, by having that big story. And I think that in this situation, one of them in particular, I genuinely believe one of them thinks that they were doing the right thing. One of them in particular knows that they weren't. But, you know, and there's more I can say about that, and I will do. But I think people want to cut through, and they want that. It's not the olden days we go, they want that 5 minutes of fame, because it's not 5 minutes anymore. You cut through, then you're set. Do you know what I mean? You can be suddenly cutting through on a big story. Is the difference between being a generic journalist for your life or having your own talk show or having this or having that, or do you know what I mean? Mm. And so I think that's where it is, because anybody now can have a story. So to be considered professional, you have to cut through. And I think there's
people will do whatever it takes to cut through.
I think people will do what it takes to cut through.
So the truth's not important anymore.
I think that the truth is secondary to the story.
Mm.
I wouldn't say the truth's not important, because people think I'm out here going, oh, these people are lying. There's kernels and elements of truth in some of the things that were said about me, but they're not what people think.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's more about, but hold on, there was five people there, or but they were involved in that, or hold on a second, but no one cares about that. Mm. It's just like, this is the person we're after. He's just won this. Let's get him.
Right.
Let's get him.
Yeah.
And the fact that you do things like this, and then the person you do it to, then 300-400 more people come forward, and that's it. And then, but nobody came. Mm. Because I'm not that fucking arsehole. I'm not that guy that they painted in that thing. That's just not me.
Yeah, no charges or anything, nothing.
Nothing. No. Wasn't even spoken to.
No.
Wasn't even spoken to. If you want to go, am I an arsehole? Sure. But I'm not that arsehole.
Right. You're a different kind of...
I'm different. I'm just different. I'm just much like you describe. I was just driven, and not that I want to promote other people's things, but, and hopefully Ari won't bleep this, but I said on the James English thing, like, you got to watch that. For those...
James. Yeah.
Yeah, watch the James English podcast, right? I'm driven... And I'm focused, and I'm not interested in friendship. So when you say it made you feel lonely, like, I embraced that. I didn't care. I've always been a loner. I've always been a loner. And whether I subconsciously like it or don't like it, I that's something I have to grapple with myself. And I have therapy and all that stuff now. Because there are days when I'm like, I like it.
You like the loneliness?
I love it. Yeah, it's peaceful.
Mm.
Just go home with my kids, whatever. Or when I'm on my own, I play video games. I like it. I'm not a very, this will surprise people that haven't watched some of the others. Like, I didn't go out. I didn't go out. I wasn't a person that went out partying or bars, or I didn't go out. That's weird. I'm in my 40s. Like, I wasn't a person that went out a lot. I'm a strange guy. Like, honestly, I would just go work and go home. I loved it. And when I got home, I'd flip my laptop out. I'd be working as well. The only people that got my time were my missus and my kids.
Yeah.
And yes, I have friends, of course. But like, me and my friends would traditionally go to the same places we go to, which weren't bars, be like a restaurant. We eat. See you later. Go home. No one. There's no one here. I saw him at this strip. Oh, don't get me wrong. I've been to a strip club on a day or whatever like that. But there's no one out there can be like, I see him at this bar. I see him at this club. You can't do that, because I wasn't that person.
Mm.
I don't drink. I mean, he says after buying some plum wine yesterday, I don't drink, but that'll last me like 2 years. You know, I got a bottle of port I've had for 6 years. Like, I don't drink. And what I mean by that is I'll have champagne when my kids are born, or I'll have a bit of Christmas.
Mm.
I've never touched a drug. I don't smoke weed, which is also a drug, but a lot of people go, but this weed. For me, everything was like, how can I create this? How can I create that? I'm just driven. You know, we're talking about an idea that we just came up with the other day on the way up here. And I said, I've already cut the trailer in my head.
Mm.
I know what the trailer should be in my head already. And we've not even started filming. I'm not working. I can't work. So I don't even know when I will start filming, if ever. But I know what the trailer is going to be already. Because that's who I am. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's weird to normal people.
Yeah, normies. Should we call them normies?
Well, I don't like like to call them normies, because it sounds disrespectful, like brokies.
I'm joking. Yeah, that was a joke. That was a joke.
I know you were. Yeah. And I know often it is
he called
a joke.
Us normies.
Yeah.
Arrogant Clark labelled regular people normies.
Well, that won't be on the trailer. But I do think
people
do that.
No, it won't be. I've cut the trailer already.
I do think people, you know, normies, brokies, in our world, they look down upon people like
that.
Well,
I'm a brokie now, mate, so listen.
Yeah. Well, anyone could be a brokie at any time. But I do think the obsession, the passion, the commitment, the sacrifice, the cost, this is something that people who are entrepreneurial, business-minded, or intensely career focused like you are, that would be the opposite of what people would define normies.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And that's just who I am and who I've always been, you know. So it is like watching your own murder, to sit through this thing happening and going, and not being able to talk.
Fuck.
Was just like,
why couldn't you talk?
You couldn't talk. You can't. No one wants to hear you. I lost everything in 2 days. Everything I worked for 20 years was gone in 2 days. I was just getting emails hitting me in my face like, bah, bah,
so
bah.
When you say you lost everything, can you tell us what you lost?
You're fired from it. Well, I mean, Bulletproof got cancelled. Viewpoint got cancelled and pulled off the air.
Yeah.
My company got taken from me.
How did that happen?
My own board voted me off. Got rid of us.
Yeah.
They, shows, I was kicked off of shows I created. Like literally there's a show. And when it comes out, I'll tell everyone I created it. Don't be fucking mistaken that. But like I created from a fucking newspaper article, got this show greenlit, cancelled it. I got to take my name off the scripts. I had a novel deal taken. I had a kids animated show, which was about to get greenlit. We had two greenlit shows separately, two greenlit movies. Like everything I worked for 20 years was gone in 24 hours. Every email that came through was like, you're dropped from this. Bang, 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 bang. You're dropped from that. You're no longer an ambassador of this. We're cancelling this. We're stopping that. Everything was just 24 hours before I'd even been spoken. So basically, they read that thing and they were like, it's real. He's gone. That's it. No due process. No.
And you haven't even been charged.
I've not even been spoken to. The first
but
time
you don't feel betrayed?
No, I don't feel betrayed.
Angry?
I'm not angry anymore. But it's funny, of course. It's funny, I saw a journalist the other day, Julia, someone, talk about how angry I was on one of the other podcasts. And I'm just like, it's just perpetuating the narrative. I wasn't angry in the slightest. And then she calls them, you know, I've been stalked and harassed and stuff for 10 years by an actor I used to work with who's been the whole time said that I've bullied it, like just talked absolute horseshit. This person's threatened the lives of my children. He's told people to bang my wife. He's tried to find my address. All this kind of stuff. And this journalist said that I went on a rant about past slights from this other person. And it's like so clear when you see the narrative. This person's threatened my children, told people to rape my wife, tried to find my address, told people to stab me. But because the narrative is that I'm the villain, the journalist calls that past slights. And someone says to kill your children, tells other people to bang your wife. That's not a slight, mate. That's a fucking disrespect on more ways. But I don't feel betrayed because what am I supposed to do? It is what it is. To feel betrayed, you would have to believe that there was a sense of loyalty in the first place. And I know that business. I know that business. So there's never a sense of loyalty, which is why I was a loner. There was an actor, I'm not going to mention names, but there's an actor that, when my thing was happening, started happening, I was telling like one of my colleagues and they said, well, how can that be happening to you? Because this actor, and I didn't know this at the time, so for people like, well, if you knew this, you should have reported this. This actor used to bring videos. He would meet girls on Raya, which is like a sort of celebrity Tinder. So known people can meet known people and feel comfortable. This guy would meet people on Raya, would film him when he's shagging, whatever, and he'd come and show the videos at work. Now, again, I did not know this at the time. When my thing started happening and I was like all over the shop, someone said, how can this be happening to you? And then said, this actor used to do this. And I was like, what? I was in the process of having him reported, right, when my thing happened. So to feel betrayed, there would have to be loyalty in the first place.
That hit me quite hard, you saying that, actually. Yeah.
Of course.
Because sometimes I think we have expectations of other people and that's the best way to be disappointed, isn't it?
It's the best way. So a hard lesson I learned in therapy. Again, not plugging other people's pods, but
no, do it.
You watch James English.
Do it.
Yes, so watch James English good. Podcast. It's a hard lesson I've had to learn in therapy, like after this event, because the trauma's been so real, you know. And again, for those people about to type by like, playing the victim, I'm not playing the fucking victim. I don't want your sympathy. What's happened, happened. I know who I am. I know what I've done. I know what I haven't done, right? Mm. But I will say the trauma of this thing hit me like so hard, like, you know, so I've been having therapy about it. And one of the things I learned in there was like, you can't expect people to behave the way that you would. I will give someone the shirt off my back.
Mm.
You know, half these people that came and said all this stuff are people that I've helped, you know, and I've got the receipts. I've got the emails, I've got the DMs, I've got the texts, I've got the private messages. I've got everything, you know, and at the time I couldn't even focus to get anything, but now I've got everything. Right, these are people I helped, some for 10 years, like helped. I mean, got them agents, got them work, got them this, never so much as touched a shoulder. And now this, you know, people I gave jobs to, like it's just, it's unreal. It's unreal. But again, I think opportunists, they were told by a journalist, this is coming, what do you have? They added their little story, added their little story, added their little story. And then these journalists turned these stories, whether embellished or real or lied about or exaggerated, turned that into what we saw.
Mm.
I doubt all of those people wanted to actually do what happened. I think people just were like, oh, I can't stand this guy. Yeah, he did say to me this one time, or he did say that one time, whether true or not, you know, because a bunch of it's anonymous where I can literally sit there and Rob and go, well, that just never happened. But yeah. how can I prove it?
Mm.
Rob, you did this. When? Can't tell you. To who? Can't tell you. What year? Can't tell you. But we know you did it. How can you defend that?
Mm. Do you think the law needs to change?
100%.
That? How do we change the law? Because I definitely think defamation law needs to change.
Well, again, as I said, they got this Reynolds defense, they got this stuff where they can just go, well, we were told, so we believed it. Law needs to change.
So they need to be able to back up what they say with facts.
Well, that's the interesting thing. So what I mentioned earlier is you can hear these three stories, right? And you can go, right, we're after Rob. And then you can phone around and 10, 20 other people can go, we've got these stories. You don't have to believe those, right? You don't have to know they're true. You don't have to, because you can say, we believed them on the balance of these three stories. But you got to back up those three stories. If you can't back up those three stories, that's when you're in trouble.
Mm.
And we're gonna see. Because I can tell you one thing is that just needs to change.
You think it will change?
How? People need to make noise about it. Mm. It'll only change. It will only change when it happens to somebody that is loved.
Mm.
When it happens to somebody that's loved and is powerful enough, then they'll go, there needs to be change. And everyone will go, yes, there needs to be change. I'm so sad about what happened to whoever.
Yeah.
When no one gives a fuck about you, then no one's looking to change it.
Mm.
When everyone thinks you are that, no one's looking to change it.
Mm.
You know, and that's the sad thing. Like, I worked in this business 20 years. I was on the BAFTA. The BAFTA film committee is a voted process, voted for by industry people. Every 2 years you get voted in. I was on there for 7 years. That wasn't me like doing a Donald Trump and trying to stay in power and causing insurrections and all that shit. People voted me in. If people are out there going, this guy's this, I wouldn't have got voted in for 7 years.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
But they turned on me. They turned on me like that. Day one.
Mm.
Self-preservation. To feel betrayed, there has to be loyalty in the first place.
Mm. Do you think maybe you're a self-professed loner to protect yourself from rejection and hurt of other people? Do you think, you know, I stay in my lane, I do my thing, no one can hurt me? But if you're not a loner, there's a risk that people can use you, betray you, hurt you, reject you. Is it a protection mechanism?
Subconsciously.
I'm not trying to be a therapist. No, it's just I think about these things myself.
Subconsciously,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
subconsciously, maybe. I mean, who knows? We don't. A lot of these things come from childhood traumas. Mm. I've done the Hoffman process, by the way. If you haven't, have you done that?
No, but I saw you updating your story about it. Yeah, man. I've had people talk about
man,
it.
Oh man. Yeah. If you can afford it, which you can.
Yeah.
Which you can. I know you can. I was talking to them, not you. I know you can fucking. You can buy the Hoffman process. You can fucking want it. If you can afford it, do the Hoffman process, man. It will change your fucking life. Mm. But point being is like, yeah, maybe subconsciously, because all this stuff comes from childhood trauma. It's funny, somebody said on one of the podcasts the other day that, you know, it's sad what's happened to this guy. He's clearly a man driven by childhood trauma, trying to impress his father. And I'm like, actually, there's a big element of that in there that I discovered when I did therapy. It's like everything was me trying to go, I'm enough.
That's a common high achiever complex, isn't it?
High achiever complex.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's just like, that's just who I was. So I think that, yes, whatever you said, yes.
I was checking your stories out.
Yeah.
Two of your stories really jumped out at me.
What, today?
Yeah, today, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Remember who the fuck you are.
Yeah.
Now, to me, that is probably one of the most intense and deep six words I think you could ever analyze.
Yeah.
So, who the fuck is Noel Clarke?
Well, that came from, I was out with a friend, and this is the deepness of it. You know, there are people that have stuck by me. There are people that have stuck by me the whole 2 years, but they can't even be mentioned, for fear that they'll get turned on or blasted or whatever. That's how crazy this whole thing is. But I was with one of them the other day who's seen me go through some really, really, I guess what we would call dark times, times where I'm just like, I don't know if I should even be here anymore, you know? And he just said, you are bigger than what happened to you. He said, the only reason I'm doing what I'm doing now, you know, yes, I'm talented and all that, and yes, he says, because you open the doors. The only reason so-and-so's directing, the only reason so-and-so's writing, the only reason so-and-so's got their production company, the only reason all these people are doing this stuff now in 2023, because in 2005, you were doing it. And you've opened doors for most of us. A lot of us, you put on, and then the tentacles of that of, you know, without kid adulthood, there's no top boy. Mm. You know, what's his name? Joe Cornish. I've saved this clip in somewhere on my phone. He said somewhere that the two films that inspired Attack the Block were Shaun of the Dead and Kid Adulthood. Like, without Kid Adulthood, without, you know. So my friend was basically going, don't forget all of that. He said, what they've done, or what the parts that you're responsible for, what's happened has happened. But he said, remember who the fuck you are. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I chose that picture with my tats out, and I wrote it. But that's where it came from. But I say that to, I would say that to everybody. Whenever you are down and out, whenever you think it's over, and not just whatever you're doing, but you think you want to end your life, or whatever, just think about all the things you've achieved. Think about all the things you've done. Think about what is happening now, and take your flowers. If people don't want to give you your flowers, take your flowers. If people don't want to give you credit, there's people I put on that are in Hollywood movies now, and to this day have never acknowledged the fact. They'll mention all the films they've done and ignore the fact they did my fucking movies. And I'm like, they don't want to give me flowers, I'll take them. Remember who the fuck you are. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I won't even affront, like, even you look at people like Lily James, biggest movie star, one of the biggest movie stars in the world. Go look at her first movie. Go see what her first movie is. And you'll find that it's Fast Girls, which is a movie that I wrote and made sure she got cast in. And that's not taking credit for her whole career. What people mistake it is like, well, you're taking credit for Lydia. I'm not taking credit for anyone's career. The point I'm making is everything you do is a stepping stone, right? I could argue, and we don't know, but if you follow any sort of superhero stuff and timelines, you could argue that if she doesn't do Fast Girls, she doesn't become Cinderella. She doesn't do Fast Girls. She doesn't become Pamela Anderson. She doesn't, you know. Mm. And I got nothing but respect for her or whatever like that. You know, I'm not trying to drag her name into it before like a bunch of journalists jump on and say I'm mentioning her and shit like that. But there's a whole bunch of other actors I could mention as well. And it's like, people don't want to give you your flowers. Sometimes you've got to take them. And sometimes you just got to remember what you've done and what you're responsible for. And you know, that's in everything. Mm. Like, I don't take what was said about me lightly. I don't think about it and go, Fuck off. I've never had an inappropriate conversation. Of course I fucking have. But so did all of them.
Mm. So, like, masculinity.
Yeah.
I've started to talk about that a fair bit more on this show.
Yeah.
I've got a 12-year-old boy.
I've got a 14-year-old boy, an 11-year-old boy, right. A 7-year-old boy, and a little one.
Fuck. So this is a conversation we need to have, even if it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
If not for us, if for them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, every generation says, oh, it was harder for us and whatever else. But to me, it seems like the most confusing time in the world to be a male.
Mm-hmm.
With all, of course, the gender identities and the pronouns mm-hmm. and then the from certain fraternities and attack on masculinity,
yep.
making it toxic. Where do you think masculinity is and what is a man?
I'm a fucking man. I know that much. So that's how I see myself. That's how I identify. Do you know what I'm saying? I think masculinity is under attack. I think that whole thing you asked why, that whole thing is I represented it, all of that. I represented all of that. Brash, masculine, don't give a fuck, attitude, working class.
What's that mean?
Don't want to hold the card up, but I think, you know, looking the way I do as well, I think it all added to that whole thing. So, that happened.
Yeah, just for people doing the listening version.
Oh, listening version. Seeing I wiped version. My face.
Yeah.
In terms of that, my skin is slightly different, a slightly different color.
Right.
You know, but I'm not holding that up as the main thing.
No.
I'm holding it up as like all of those things combined made me easy pickings, as they say. Easy pickings.
So why are some types of men under attack then for being a man?
Because we are viewed as toxic. And I hate that word. I hate all the fucking buzzwords, but you're viewed as that because you represent everything. You know, I'm fucking in my 40s, man. When I grew up, there were no apps.
No.
There weren't apps, man. You went out and you chatted up girls. That's how you met
people. You tried and you got a lot of rejection.
A lot of rejection. Well, I did. No, I got a lot of rejection. And, you know, what they've tried to turn me into is that I can't take rejection. And then he's forcing it. No, fuck that bullshit. I've been getting rejected. And plus, I'm an actor. Rejection's part of life.
Mm.
Like, trust me, you know, it's never bothered me. You get a lot of rejection, but that's how you met women. Like, there just wasn't, you didn't swipe, you didn't go on Hitch or Bumble or Tinder or anything like that. You went out and you met people. And don't get me wrong, let's not pretend that you didn't get chatted up as well. It was vice versa. That's how you met people.
Mm.
And so I think that old world of like, hey, what are you saying, man? That is not acceptable anymore. Right, but what they're doing is they're retroactively punishing people for how people used to talk way back in the days without allowing for education, without allowing for transition. Do you know what I'm saying? And I think that's a problem. And I think there are a lot of men that are still the issue because they have the old views and the old things. But you have to allow people to evolve. You have to allow time for people to change. Mm. But masculinity and everything about being a man is viewed as buzzword toxic. And it's not. I think you can be a man. And people will go, well, what is a man? I can't say what I think the definition of a man is because it can be different to everyone. You know, you might like knitting and sewing and pink jumpers and still consider yourself a man. It's how you identify, right? But I know personally that for me, I feel masculine. I like to go to the gym. I like to work out. I like combat sports. You know, for me, that's masculine. Mm. And before anyone gives it as the high horse, that's not to say women can't do any of that stuff.
Mm.
For me, that's how I identify as masculine.
Mm.
I like sport. I like women, not in the way that they've all said. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But that's just, you know.
Well, if we do end up in World War III, which some of my guests have said we're already in, they're going to need a lot of alpha men, aren't they, to fucking...
Well, it's the belief that potentially what's happened has actually started it. I'm not sure. I don't think people are dumb enough to get there. It would be pointless, because where are we going to live after? Like,
Yeah, but it happened. Every 100 years, there's wars. Every 50 years, there's wars. There's always wars.
There's never stopped being wars.
No, exactly.
There hasn't stopped being wars. So let's not hope that happens.
No.
But I do find it interesting. I watched a video yesterday on one of these socials where this girl was in the gym and she was, well, I don't know, but it looked like she was doing one of those classic videos where she's going to work out on a machine and then she's going to say, oh, look, these men are watching me and they're creeps. And then that's what it looked like it was going to be. And she got on this machine and she unhooked it and she fucking, the weights just collapsed on her. She like collapsed on her and crushed her down. So like, and literally her head's between her knees. She's ah. And two men ran over and helped her, lifted up the stuff which she couldn't get out of, and racked it and got her out. And then you see her in her collar and she's off to the hospital and all that. And I couldn't help but think to myself, what if they didn't help her? What if they went, I ain't fucking helping her because I don't want to be called a creep or I'm touching or this, that and the other. And I just like, what would have happened if nobody helped her? Because now everyone's filming these videos and they're doing this thing and the tightest clothes and they can wear whatever you like. And then some guy would mind his business and do 15 reps and he'll just go, and oh, you should be in prison. Like, it's just unreal. Like, it's unreal. And all of that stuff is just in a just because someone glances at you, it doesn't mean they're going to follow you home.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think we just need to look at, we just need to have balance. We just need to have balance for sure. If you're there working out and a guy's like dribbling and fucking, yeah. or even
you,
looks,
you look good doing that.
Even,
yeah.
Even, oh, cheers, mate. Yeah. Yeah. They're going to freeze frame that one. But look, yeah. We were right about him. Yeah. And or keeps looking over too much. I think there's a conversation to be had for sure. Like, dude, like, are your eyes okay? Mm. Like, you keep flicking over to me. You're all right? For sure. Yeah. But I think, you know, just like attacking people and blasting them online is just not the way. There needs to be balance. But that comes back to what I spoke about earlier with people wanting to cut through.
Yeah.
People wanting to be heard. People wanting to have their voice heard. I want to be seen. I want to be, you know, Chris Rock said in his tour recently, he did it in the Netflix special, but weirdly, 3 months before that, I saw him at the O2, and the whole Netflix special was the same thing, apart from the last Will Smith bit. He said, the biggest drug in the world right now is attention.
Wow, yeah. And it's the biggest currency in business as well, isn't it?
It's the biggest currency in business, yeah. Biggest drug in the world is attention. And
I mean, that scares me in a way. I know I've got to play that game if I want to be successful in business, but to me, that's a double-edged sword.
Do you?
Well, if you've got a great business idea and no one knows about it, you haven't got a great business idea, have you?
Sure, but yeah, you're right. Mm. I don't know if it needs the attention though, but it is scary. And then you have to really think about, was it always that, but there just wasn't, the avenues weren't there.
Mm. Yeah, but or
anybody now can be the most famous person in the world tomorrow.
Yeah, and so when it's attention for attention's sake, that's dangerous.
Yeah, how many likes can I get?
Yeah.
If you love to travel like me and you understand the power in escaping the money for time exchange trap, but you just don't know how to do it, then building an Airbnb consultancy business could be exactly what you have been looking for. Right now in the UK, there is a completely untapped opportunity through helping struggling Airbnb hosts by turning around their underperforming properties and generating you huge commission payments in the process. We are going to teach you all of the tools and all of the techniques that we've learned over the last 5 years through building our very own multiple six-figure Airbnb business, arming you with everything that you need to swoop in and save the day. Minimal startup costs, zero risk, and almost unlimited potential. Sound good? Welcome to the Airbnb Consultant. Contact us through any of the channels included in the studio notes to get the conversation started.
This isn't going to go viral, delete it, do it again. How do we do it? Like when it's everyone wants to cut through. Yeah. Oh, I cut my knee today. And then the dopamine release when 15 people go, I'm sorry that happened to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that opens a whole wormhole of fear for mankind. That, because I know
I don't allow my kids on social. I don't allow
you
my
don't?
Kids. No.
No.
No. One of my sons has Instagram, but he follows no one. Only like, a couple of people family-wise follow him and he doesn't, I don't allow them on it. Mm. I don't allow them to have accounts to be getting DM'd or bullied or, you know, whether people know they're my kids or not, I just don't allow it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted.
No, you don't have to be sorry. It's just, your show, but you know what
I think is your show.
One thing I've always tried to maintain as an interviewer is to talk as little as possible and let my guests talk as much as possible. Right. Some of my best content, so discussion around this quandary, I know some of my best content has the relatively lowest amount of views. I know there's some content I've put out there where I hacked a little bit and I thought I can get some virality on this, and I did.
Yeah.
And I've not done anything wrong.
Yeah.
You know, it's what people have said. But
which is what you'll probably do with this one.
Well, we will try and get... This is a really good question. I love how you've spun it.
But it will be. I know it will be because...
Well, Harry will try and edit a trailer that obviously...
Will make people watch it.
Yeah, will make people watch it, which you are a master of, because that's what you do.
And thus you will pick the lines that I say that will seem the most controversial.
In the trailer,
In the trailer, seem the most hooky that will get people to watch it.
But in the edit, unless you say...
No, I know that.
Yeah, unless you say, we won't take anything out.
No, I know that.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm aware of that. Yeah. But like, again, it comes down to...
That makes me feel a bit dirty.
It's a dirty trick.
Well,
I'm not playing. I mean, I'm not saying
you do it in movies.
You do it in movies, except it's not people's lives in movies. It's like it's different. It's drama.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll only take what's being said.
Of course.
Yeah.
But when it's shown in a trailer, it's out of context.
Yeah, it is.
And thus, it's really done to just get people to watch it or
to continue to watch it.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
He said what?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But
that makes me feel a bit like a whore. I do feel a bit...
A sex worker?
No, yeah, sorry. I've just fucked myself, I'm going to come for some advice.
A sex worker, which is a perfectly respectable profession.
Content whore. It makes me feel like a content sex worker. But look, I'm expressing honestly how the quandary I have. Because, you know, I was a very respectful business owner far before I used social media. Had hundreds of properties, built proper businesses.
Yeah.
And now I've sort of come into this world where I've got this business experience behind me, which... I could put in jeopardy if I say some silly things. But, you know, all the algorithms and the social media channels and people's attention. Like, if you don't play that game, I've some of my great content, my great guests has had 2,000 views. And some of them have had 4 million views.
100%. I get it. So what you'll do is, you know, instead of just putting out a picture of us going, oh, Noel's on the podcast and having people go, oh, we just see him on Three Others. You'll find the line that you think hasn't been said on any of the others. You'll find the moment you think that sounds the most controversial, and that's what
Harry will.
That's what Harry will.
Harry will blame
Rob. What Harry will put in the edit for people to go, oh, I need to watch that. But I'm aware of that. But that's what will happen. That's what's done. And to your point, in trailers, you make your trailer exciting, so people want to watch a movie.
Yeah.
And so, I get it. It doesn't mean it's right. It doesn't mean I believe it's right. But to cut through. That's what needs to be done.
Mm. Yeah, that's one I wrestle with. I would honestly, I'd actually not like to do that. I'd like to have 2, 3, 4, and 5 hour deep and meaningful conversations.
Oh, I'd love that. I could talk all day.
Yeah, with really interesting people and get to know them and go everywhere and ask some hard questions and let them have their story and then just show it to the world and do none of this gimmicky shit.
Yeah.
But I'm forced in a world where if I don't play certain parts of the game, I don't get my content seen.
I know that. Mm. But you know, it's the same for. It's the same for me. What I'm doing, you know, like. People think that I've been offered conversations for 2 years. I decide what I've done, and I've only decided in the last month or so, and I've picked the ones I've done.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. So like for me as well, is like I'm picking people that I think that have integrity, apart from the way they do their trailers, Harry.
I'm not throwing him under the bus, but he does the trailers.
No, of course. Yeah. But I know what's going to get done, right?
Yeah. I don't look them because I know I won't like them.
Should Harry have a job then?
Well, he's better than me at what he does. Yeah.
He's giving me the evil now.
I try and do my job.
Shut the fuck up, man. He's there with the thing. Don't you say that. I'll make you look terrible. Do you know what I mean? So I'm picking. Point is, you know, even I know who I've picked and why.
Mm. And why did you pick this one then?
I like you. I don't know you, but I like you.
I appreciate
that. And also, you weren't a You weren't like a journo. You weren't like a... there's an agenda. You know it's going to get views. You know it's going to get views. That's why we're here, right?
Yeah.
But I like the handwritten note as well.
Yeah.
I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah. Thank you.
Do you feel embarrassed now that you wrote a handwritten note?
No.
Was I not supposed to? Okay.
No, good. No, I don't feel embarrassed. So I've actually been telling people to do that.
It was nice.
And most of the great guests we've got, we couldn't get through their Instagram, couldn't get through their agent.
Just handwritten note.
Yeah.
Did Harry write it?
No.
You wrote it? Did you actually write it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And obviously I do my Instagram, which a lot of people don't.
No, I like
obviously,
that.
Obviously, I don't say his name because everyone will try and nick him, but you know my assistant as well.
Yes.
Because he's been with me for 17 years and he's fucking
17 years?
Yeah, and I'm not having anyone nick him. He's fucking brilliant.
Wow.
I nearly said his name once. He'll just be gone. Yeah, fuck. Let's talk about your career.
Yeah.
Because honestly,
yeah,
that is...
was.
will be.
Hopefully, yeah.
I mean, you've done some amazing shit in your career. I mean, you were successful.
I was, yeah.
Very young.
Sorry, Harry, don't, you know. Yeah. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, so one thing I wanted to ask is, did you secure 600 grand of funding for Kidulthood?
No, I didn't secure it.
Right.
There was a producer that secured it.
Have you ever raised funding for your films?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been involved in raising funding for some of the later films, meeting the right people and bringing stuff together. Although I'm not a very good, I'm not a mathematician. So once the thing's greenlit, I can bring stuff in, but once it's greenlit, you come and do the budget, you come and do the, you know, you come and do that, you look after the account, you be the line producer. I'm not, you know, I'm not all of that. But yeah, so I've brought money to some of the later films. So you're looking at like, you know, your Brotherhoods, your 10x10s and stuff like that for sure. But the early one, Kidulthood, it was 600,000 or maybe 550 or whatever like that. I did not raise any of that.
No.
I was just I was just an actor who was writing at the time.
And how did your life change after Kidulthood?
It didn't.
Really?
I mean, it did in terms of like, I was suddenly had a movie out there, but it didn't do, you know, people see everything I've achieved and think that I was let in or that I was like the chosen one. I was not, I was most definitely not. But I've just kept going and kept jumping the obstacles and bursting through the barriers and kicking the doors open. And when they lock the doors, climbing in the window, like, so after Kidulthood, nothing, I got nothing. Like I didn't get any more real opportunities to write and direct. So I did what I always do. I just fucking wrote myself. I just wrote scripts. Just wrote, much like I'm doing now. I've got fuck all now. I'm just writing.
Yeah.
I'm just writing some of the best stuff I've ever written. And I look at everything that's happened. And I look at the things on TV. And I kind of, part of me is like, oh man, I wish I was doing what I do. And they're going, oh, you're so arrogant. Like the stuff I did was always different. It was always different, you know. I've been told I'm on the spectrum before, you know. By a normie, probably. by a normie. Yeah. I've been told I'm on the spectrum a few times. I've never been diagnosed, so this is self-diagnosis, or whatever. But I have been told a few times, right? And I can buy it because, you know, I have this just different way of thinking about things. You know, bit of OCD, bit of sort of like, you know, go to a restaurant, order the same thing, leave out the same door when I leave Sainsbury's. You know, like. You know, want to go on the same holiday all the time, like it's a bit of stuff there. But like I have this off-kilter way of thinking, which that means that if my voice is not on TV or film, it's just like, for me, I'm just, Kidulthood and those films were different.
How are you different? How's your content different?
I don't know, man. I feel I know my audience and I know what they want to watch. I feel like I just think in an off-kilter way. I'll give you an example in a second, but you know, Kidulthood and those things were different. Kidulthood, the Bulletproof, the cop show, like, when have you ever seen a cop show like that in the UK? Like, the more procedural, the more, like, that was just action. It was, like, vibes. It was, like, Bad Boys. I think differently. So an example is in season one of Bulletproof, there's a scene in episode, I forget what episode it was, where there's a villain who's done something. I think he's kidnapped Ashley's kid. And then I catch the informer. And I threaten him with a crowbar. And I go, you're going to tell me or I'm going to hit you or whatever like that. And he's like, you're not going to hit me, blah, blah, blah. Now, we know in 99% of British cop shows, they're not going to hit him with a crowbar. They can't do it. It's procedures, whatever like that. And I had a big battle with the broadcaster because I was like, he's got to hit him. And they were like, well, he's a police officer. He can't, possibly. I said, you know, this protocol. I said, yes, fucking TV. I said, he's got to hit him. He says, because if I'm Joe Public sitting at home and this villain's like, you ain't going to fucking hit me. And the cop knows he can't hit him. That's what we always see. Mm. I said, but if he hits him, everyone at home's going to be like, oh my God, he's mugging him. Mm. So he's got to hit him. Mm. That's what this character has to be. That's what we've got to do. And it had to go up like fucking levels to get approval to come down. And eventually they said, yeah, fine, hit him. Mm. You got the scene and I fucking clumped the guy with a crowbar. Mm. And the amount of people that said to me, bro, when you hit that guy with a crowbar, I was jumping up in the air. Because as an audience member, you've got a villain like that, you think, that's fucking God. If that was me, I would hit him. And if you've got a character that you relate to that then does stuff like that, that's what draws you in. Mm. And the reason that a lot of the stuff I did was successful, it wasn't because it was the best, it wasn't. It's because I did things that the audience themselves would want to do. You know, I made them on the edge. I made our films slightly racier than a 15 would be, you know. We basically cut them and the BBFC would go, that's an 18. Mm. And we go, why is it an 18? Tell us exactly why it's an 18. They'd go, well, on 18 minutes, 51 seconds, you have a frame and you show this and da 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 da. And then we would just trim out the frames that they complained about and send it back. And they'd be like, motherfucker, this is now a 15, but you're on the line. We're like, but it's a 15. Yeah. And I would do all of that stuff intentionally.
And does that make you feel good?
It does. It's not that it makes me feel good, but it's like, I know when I was young and RoboCop was an 18 and I was 15, I wanted to watch RoboCop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Arnie films. I didn't want to watch the films that were from my age.
No.
So I always tried to be that when I was making stuff. And so when they say, oh, this stuff is misogynistic, it wasn't intentionally, I wasn't intentionally like, oh, I'm going to show boob, I'm going to show this and that and the other. It wasn't like, because I was leering. It's because I was like, I know what the audience wants to see. So I'm going to just, in a 50, and I'm just going to have that there on the edge so that people in the cinema are going to be like, all right, listen. Did you see that? Do you know what I mean? Because when they leave, what they do? Tell their friends, man, you got to watch the film because this happens and that happens. And then when the films make money, everyone's scratching their heads. How did they make money? But this other film we made, which was wonderful, made no money. It's because that's what I do. I just think slightly differently. Mm. I just always thought oddly. Mm. I'm odd.
Do you see yourself as an entrepreneur? Would you say you're an entrepreneur?
No. Short answer, no.
What would you call yourself? If you're like identifying, if you had to put on the top of your CV, applying for jobs, what would you put as your...
I've no idea. I'm just a guy.
Because a lot of my guys don't know what...
I've no idea.
No.
I feel like to be an entrepreneur, you have to have... I guess I do have a lot of ideas. I feel like you have to have backing. I feel like you have to have... I feel like I've never had backing. To be an entrepreneur, you either need to have your own finance, your own capital, or you have to have backing to make your ideas go forth. And I've always thought of myself as the outsider. I've always thought of myself as the black sheep. So I've never thought that I've had backing. And most of my things have been financed independently, apart from when we got to Bulletproof TV. But then I will always hold on to the fact that they told us for years that will never get made. I always use the negative stuff as fuel. Mm. As fuel. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I'll always use that, you know. And again, that's a thing I had to really look at in therapy. It's like, but you've achieved the number one. You had the number one show in the country. Like, were you celebrating? I was like, no. I was going, yeah, fuck you, motherfuckers, because you told us it would never happen. Yeah. And that was my drive. That was my fuel. Everyone's like, man, this is brilliant. And I'm like, yeah, but they told us that we'd never do it, and we done it. Mm. And they were like, just celebrate for a second. Mm. And I'd be like, no.
Do you think that's healthy?
No. I think it's helpful. I think it's helpful. Mm. I don't necessarily think it's healthy. I think there has to be a balance. There has to be a balance. I don't want to admit that there has to be a balance, but I feel there has to be a balance. But I also think it's helpful and it helped me more. If I did not have that drive and if I didn't have that you're trying to stop me mentality, I would never have worked as hard as I did. Mm. I would never have had that drive. I'd never had that passion. I would have never had that focus. I would never have had that I'm going to show you. Because even when people weren't trying to stop me, I was like, they're trying to stop me. I'm going to work harder than them. Mm. You know what I mean? It was something I had to learn about myself. That I have to hold my hands up and go, how can you be better? And I don't mean better as in lose it, because it helped me. But better as in not always. I would walk into meetings. All right, well, let's see what they're going to tell me I can't do. They're like, it's wonderful to see you. And I'd be like, yeah, you too. And in my head, I'm like, you don't fucking mean it. It's an attitude for sure, but it fueled me. It fueled me in terms of making me work harder than most people.
Mm. I had a conversation with a really successful artist, but he's not that well known, but he's basically Banksy's inspiration. And I think about this shit all the time, and you've just kind of like woken it up in my head, and it's this. I said to him, are any great artists happy? And he said, well, yeah, surely some. And then we went through it, and by the end of it, he agreed. No. You can't be happy and a great fucking artist.
No, you can't, because you're always... No, you can't.
And there's so much in the world now, maybe, you know, let's use some terms like woke and left and blah, 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 about, you know, happiness and taking part and all that. And I just think... I look at anyone who's fucking great at something, an artist, you know, a sports person, an entrepreneur. Happiness isn't the goal.
No.
They're not happy people. They're productive. They're relentless. Because you know when you said helpful?
Yeah.
Not happy. I'm not happy that I'm taking everyone's, you know, energy of you're going to fail and turn it into a mission.
Yeah.
I'm not happy about that at all, but it really helps me.
It helps me, yeah.
It's so what, do you think anyone that's going to be great at anything can be happy
no,
as well?
No, well, no, is the short answer. the longer answer
I like both versions.
But the longer answer is, of course, I'm happy when I'm with my kids.
Mm.
I'm happy when I see my family in Canada, because all my family went to Canada from Trinidad. Like, my mom came here, they all went there. I'm happy, like, I'm happy.
Mm.
Like, I'm happy. But that's
terribly.
Yeah, that they make me happy.
Mm.
But in my ultimate like drive, happiness would not have me doing what I did.
No.
I would not have succeeded if I was happy.
No.
Right? I would not have. Someone said to me, and again, watch James English, sorry. He said to me, were you ever satisfied? And I was like, no.
Well, that's not the goal, is it? People think that's the goal.
Well, here's the interesting point. He said to me, what was the goal then? I don't know what the goal was, because every time I got there, there was another one.
Well, it's progress, isn't it?
But where does it end?
It doesn't, because it can't end, otherwise it's no progress.
That's right. Yeah. So every time I set a goal in my head, or I set a thing that I wanted to achieve, I want to have an action figure. I want to have my own TV show. I want to have my own movies. I want to have my own company. I want to star in my own movies. I want to be a bona fide star in this country and not have to jet off to America. I want to produce this. I want to write this. Every single time I had a goal in my head where I thought, when I have that, I'll be good. When I got there, I wasn't good. I was like, what's next?
Mm.
I remember the ultimate thing was like, one day I want to get a BAFTA, and then I got one. And I was like, I don't give a fuck about this. Mm. Put it on the shelf. How do I get another one?
Yeah.
What do I do tomorrow morning? I want to star in a movie. Done that. I was never, you know, I had goals. I will say dreaming is for sleepers. I didn't have dreams. Dreaming is for sleepers. I'm not a sleeper. I'm like goal orientated. But the problem or the issue or the drive, whether you see it as positive or negative, the fact remains is when I got to those places, it's like in The Dark Knight when Heath Ledger says, I just do things. I'm like a dog chasing a car. I wouldn't know what to do if I caught one.
Yeah.
I fucking loved that, man. I loved it because I'm the same. Like, I got to those points where I was like, this is what I want to achieve. And then I did it. Had my action figure on my hand. I was like, what do I do now?
Mm.
And that was continue every time. Like, we got our, when we got our production company, Because we basically, our films are doing well, blah, blah, blah. We got into TV, we got a production company, Bulletproof's there, whatever. And I remember going very early on and pitching a show to a broadcaster very early on. Because in films, right, in films, if you give me the money for a film, I can make a film. I can make a film and it's coming out. It's coming out somewhere. In TV, you got the broadcasters. So even if you gave me the money for a TV show, if the broadcasters don't put it on, so very early on, we had a meeting, I pitched a show, and they were like, we love this, but it's not for our channel, whatever. And then we ran out of channels, and I was like, went back to my business partner. We're like, surprised they didn't pick up that show. And he's like, you're all right. I was like, we need our own TV channel. That's how I always thought. How do you get around the people that are... Immediately, I was like, we need our own channel. Because if we had our own channel, then I don't need to fucking... And then he said, well, you know, what if... People, who's going to watch the channel? And I said, ah, yeah, but you're not thinking straight, because sometimes in America, when you pitch a show, they'll go, yeah, we can give you X amount of millions per episode, but who's your UK broadcaster? Who's going to show it in the UK? So essentially, like, they didn't care who's showing it as long as it was shown. So I was like, if we had our own channel, we could get our shows financed in America, because when they go, who's showing it in the UK, we go, X channel, they don't give a fuck. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So we were trying to always find our ways around. That's how I always thought. Mm. There was never a day, and it's sad. There's some people who are going to watch this and go, well, that's fucking sad. Mm. But maybe they're not as driven as you or I. Mm. There's some people who are going to be watching and be like, I get that, that's me. Mm. And good luck to you. I don't think it's fully healthy, but if you are not a person that doesn't have it, you won't understand. If you are a person that has it, you will understand it helps you. You are successful because you have that drive. You are successful because every time you get to that point where most people would go, ah, you're just like, see ya, and you keep going. I had friends of mine say to me, oh yeah, I could get a promotion at work, man, and you know, but I think I don't want it. I'll just coast along. And I'm like, what? I'm like, you could get a promotion, but you don't want it because you just want to coast along. I'm like, that's alien. That's alien talk to me. I'll take it all. Let's go, let's go, let's go. And then when you're at the top, you don't have to work if you don't want. Mm. That's just who I've always been. Mm. I know it sounds, when I say it out loud, I'm like, it sounds crazy. But anyone who's has it will understand.
Yeah. Mm. And do you think that's the way you can take your career to the next level? You've had some disruption to it, but
disruption.
I'm absolutely convinced. If we get to have a conversation in the near future, you'll be right back in the game where you want to be. I'm absolutely convinced of that.
I'm glad you were convinced. I think there are battles that people don't... A lot of the doors I opened were not opened for me. I think this is known. People know that I was sort of, you know, I got in the doors, kicked them down or whatever like that. So I was never wanted in those rooms anyway. So now those doors have been slammed with what is seen as reason. Those people now don't have to open the doors. Do you know what I mean? So it's a lot more difficult now than it even was starting out. So I honestly don't know, you know, but it's just, you know, what people thought they saw was the biggest takedown of a villain that we've seen in this place. And actually what you actually saw was the biggest example that outsiders are not wanted. Because I was always an outsider, and they basically were always waiting for a reason. Always waiting for a reason, which is why, obviously I don't like these things anyway, which is why I always thought, don't do any drugs, don't drink, don't be in any parties or situations where you can never did anything. Don't fall out of the string fellas at 3 a.m. with some stripper or whatever. Never done none of that. You can check back my 20 years. There's none of that stuff. Firstly, because I didn't want to, because that's not me. But secondly, because I was always conscious. You know, so when people go, oh, he was doing all that, I thought I was flying straight. Mm. I genuinely did. I know what's being said. I know what people believe or what they, but I genuinely thought I was like a person that was flying straight. I've seen people not fly straight. So I know what that looks like. Mm. There's people that are working now. There's people that everyone claps and cheers. And I'm like,
yeah.
I know they don't fly straight. I thought I was flying straight. Do you know what I mean? So it's harder now, because actually you've been painted as this thing. But actually what it really was like working class, looking the way I do, sounding the way I do, not part of the elite. I was never really wanted there.
You'll find some new doors to kick down, though, won't you? If you're a door kicker, you're just in that transition and finding some new doors to kick down.
I've got to find them. Yeah. I'm looking.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking. That drive and that determination and everything that I'm looking, you know. Mm. But it's interesting. It's funny because the narrative is, I saw this journalist the other day, and he put out this tweet saying Clark's powerful industry friends were inviting journalists out for dinner and trying to convince them to uncancel him. As soon as I knew this was the thing, I left the meeting immediately and left, and that's what every journalist should do. So I saw this fucking thing, and 2 minutes later I get a text from the person that took him to dinner. And she says, I just saw what that journalist said online. And she's like, that is absolutely not what happened. She says, I took this person to dinner and your name came up, and that is the be all and end all of it. But when these people have a narrative and they put out their narrative, it can just spread like wildfire. So that's what, it's those sorts of things that make everything a little bit more difficult than it used to be. But as I said, I'm looking and I'm trying to just do what I do. Mm. I'm creating, I'm writing, writing probably the best stuff. I'm probably writing the best stuff I've ever written, to be honest.
And you might not have had the time or space were this not happening.
100%.
Yeah.
I've spent more time with my baby than, there's more time with this baby than all the others at this age.
Wow.
You know, so this one actively looks for me. Mm. All the others, I was sort of a secondary thought if mum wasn't around, where this one will get up and look for me. Mm. You know, so that's been special.
Yeah, so I've got this mentor, and he says that wisdom and maximum growth is on the border of support and challenge. And every situation, event, or person has an equal upside and downside. And generally, when bad things happen to us, it's because we're seeing just the downside and none of the upside. The upside is there, we just can't see it yet, unless we have wisdom and presence. Yeah. And often we can go 5 years into the future and look back and go, that was one of the best things that ever happened to me.
I don't know if I say that, but I get the point. Yeah.
And are you are you sort of out enough now to be able to start to see some of the upsides of this?
I'm starting, no.
Well, you just said one, your youngest baby coming to you.
Yes, yeah.
Is that not a memory you're going to...
That's cherished, 100%, yeah.
And you're writing the best shit you've ever written.
You're right.
And you wouldn't have had the space for that if you were banging out.
See, but this is my personality.
And you're on this show as well.
I'm on this show. This is my personality of like, I see the opposite because it fuels me. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But you're right, yeah. You know, I think I don't yet see the upside to the situation because I think it was a messed up situation for a lot of people. For myself, the people that said what they said, for the ones that believe what they said, you know. For the ones that know that they're talking shit, for the people that I have upset in ways that I'm like, well, hey man, if I've upset you, then fine. But what happened didn't need to happen, should never have happened, had no right to happen, and I think everyone's starting to see that now. Mm. But coming out of that for everyone, I hope all of them can just move on, and I'm just trying to just move on and get on with my life and do what I do better than a lot of people, even if people don't want to admit that, and do what I do and just create, because that's what I'm here for. It's funny, when the day it all happened, I had a vision of something which I won't tell you about unless it happens, but it was something, when you say the upside, it was something so up that it was almost like, why are you having this vision in this situation? It's like the day after this all happened, it's like a nightmare. I was having nightmares, sweats, you know, panicking about everything. And I just had this one vision, which was like a really positive vision, just plucked out of nowhere. And I believe that can happen because I know me. Mm. I know what I do. I know who I am. I know how hard I work. I don't see how I'm getting there to whatever that vision was, but I believe it can happen because I know that I would have got there anyway. Mm. So it'll be interesting. If it ever does, I'll come here first.
Oh, I look forward to that. You heard that here.
If it does, I'll come here first.
Deal.
Deal. Tell James, by the way.
James is getting some good plugging on our show.
Yeah, sorry, man. Is that
advertising? No, free advertising. We're doing a collab, aren't we, James and I?
We're talking.
Yeah. We're going to do something together.
And oh, good.
We've had some similar guests.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. There's some sort of crossover of guests. So, what makes a great creator? Like, you talked a lot about creating. What makes a great creator?
Unique. I think unique ideas that know who they're meant for. Do you know what I mean? Like something unique, whether it's films, or, you know, I mostly focus on films and TV because that's what I do. But like even with other things, something unique, something that is different, right? But also, excuse me, knowing who they're for. Like I know who my things are for. I know what I do. Like, yes, you want something for everyone, but that's not reality.
No.
There's going to be people that hate the shape of your water bottles. Do you know what I mean? It's just not reality. So you have to go, I know who this is for, and hopefully that bleeds out to a general populace where more people can enjoy it. So for me, that makes a great creator.
Mm.
And consistently, whether it's quality or quantity, but consistently coming up with things.
Mm.
For me.
You said earlier, you were okay, all right, good with rejection.
Yeah.
I think that's really fucking hard to really be okay with rejection. And I think a lot of people are not. And if they are, they're constantly working on that. So how do you become Teflon, rejection proof, face it, own it?
Something I learned very early on, I just sort of shut it off because I think the more you think about rejection, the more it will hurt you, the more it will chink your armor. And so you have to know that most things you're rejected from, you didn't have in the first place.
So everything, I suppose. You're trying to get it. You never had it.
So therefore, I'm like, well, I didn't have it in the first place. But then again, it wouldn't bother me. I have to let it go.
Do you think therefore maybe some people build up such a fantasy picture of the thing that they're gonna get, they're setting themselves up.
If I get this,
and everything will be great. When this happens, my life will be amazing.
And then you don't get it, and then it fucking crushes people. So I made sure that, you know, because there was a stage where it kind of like, oh, and then I was like, nah. And then I literally was like, no. That just, you know, I've been rejected my whole life anyway, even from small, like, you know, not having certain parents around. So, you know, getting into the industry, there was a moment where I lost myself and then I was like, nah, go back to that.
When you say lost yourself, what do you mean?
There's a moment when I first got into the industry, when I bought into like, man, if I get this job.
Oh, right.
Like, very early on, first few. And then I just was like, reset.
Yeah.
No, just be who you are. Mm. And then I was just like, nah, I never had it in the first place. So it didn't bother me. I'm talking like, I've been up for big fucking movies where you get that movie,
done.
Your life's changed.
Yeah, and like not, going on Joe Rogan or something.
and not getting them,
and
you just have to let it go.
Yeah,
I think where I'm slightly different is, I also had this like, well, fuck them anyway. I'm gonna fuck them anyway. I'm gonna do my own one.
Yeah.
Fuck them anyway. That's what makes me different. And it wasn't like I hate them.
No.
It was like, all right, cool.
I wish I could feel that.
It was like, cool. Yeah. I don't have that.
Fuck them anyway.
Fuck them anyway. I'll do my own one.
That's what I'd like the trailer to be.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
I don't see that as the last line.
Fuck them.
Harry. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think that's where I differ. I think that's where I get this attitude that people label me with, because I have it. Like, you know, I have it. That people just rubs people up the wrong way. I would go, you know, because there's people that would be like, oh, I'm so destroyed that I didn't get this role, and oh, Jeeves, you're so humble. Well, you know, it would have been one. And then there's the people that are like, well, you know, I didn't have it anyway. And, oh, what a good attitude. And then there's me like, fuck them anyway. I do my own one, and people.
I'll do my own one.
You're very you're very arrogant, and it's like, it's never meant that way. It's just like, that's how I process it. I'm like, okay, cool. I can't be in that cop show.
Mm.
Fuck them, I'll do my own cop show.
Yeah.
And then 5 years later, you get bulletproof. And everyone goes, oh, how lucky is he getting a cop show? And they haven't seen the journey and the maze and the obstacles and the hall of mirrors that you've had to go through to get it. They just see, you know, but that's kind of who I am.
Mm.
That's strange, I know. Mm. I know, when I say it out loud, I'm like, you're a fuck.
I like that.
A lot of people my don't. Dad's a like lot of that. People don't.
Yeah, my dad's like that. And I think that I became a bit the opposite of that as a reaction to my dad being like that.
You got to do the Hoffman, man.
Yeah.
Because they talk about that resistance rebellion or... It's another R. It's not emulation, but when you copy.
Right.
Resistance, rebellion, repeating maybe. I don't know. So you either do what your parents do that you see when you grow up, you absorb it,
yeah.
or you rebel against it.
Well, like I became a conflict avoider, eggshell walkerer.
Right. Was your dad very like, oh, fuck it?
He was always on the edge of batshit meltdown.
Yeah, so you...
headbutting people randomly and just always on the edge of... and so like I developed this coping mechanism and in business, having a walking on eggshell trying to please everyone, just in the end it's just you can't do it.
No, you can't.
You have to, and so I had to learn conflict.
Yeah. If you're trying to be everybody's friend, you're an enemy to yourself.
Yes. Mike Tyson said that, didn't
he? That's what I was getting. Mike Tyson. If you're trying to be everybody's friend, you're an enemy to yourself.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
Yeah. So I'm the opposite. I wouldn't quite say I was like your dad headbutting people, but I'm definitely like, I didn't shy away from it. You know, I would sit there, I'd meet someone for the first time and they'd give me a funny look, whatever. And I'd be like, all right. And then the next time they'd give me a funny look and I'd sit down in front of them and go, you all right, mate?
See, I
I'd be like, you good?
Yeah.
What's the looks for? Do you know what I mean? And then there's something like, and then you get called intimidating or bullying.
I'm attracted to that side of you because I didn't have and I had to learn it.
Oh, shit.
Trailer.
I touched his arm without permission. I'm not making light of the situation, but do forgive me, Rob. I'm aware that I shouldn't have done that. That's the world we're in now.
Yeah.
I'm just like that, man. Like there was this. I know we're wrapping up, man. I'm sorry. I'm just like that.
It's all good.
Oh, great. There was this guy.
I'm here all day, mate.
He does actually live here. Yeah. Sleeping bags down. There was this guy. I don't know, man. I'm just like, there was this actor that was years ago. And funny, he came out on the thing saying, I bullied him and blah, blah, blah. But he was backing up the guy that had threatened the lives of my kids, right? So he's backing up this guy on Twitter, like big up this, that, and the other. And, you know, he's backing him up. And I'm sitting at home seeing this thing and I'm just like, you know, like your dad, I'm like, when I see you, we're having a conversation.
Yeah.
Right. 3 years later, I see this guy. And he says, hey, how you doing? I'm like, don't fucking shake my hand, man. Mm. Don't fucking shake my hand. We ain't friends. And I just put it on him. So you've done this. You backed up the guy that's fronting my kids. I'm sorry. But that's just who I was. I wasn't scared of that sort of stuff. I wasn't scared of that confrontation. When my thing happened, he came straight out. I was bullied by Noel Clark here, there, and everywhere, and blah, blah, blah. And so I've realized that, you know, I probably should have handled that in a different way. Now, I don't think I was wrong because he was backing up the guy that threatened my children. Mm. But in terms of how he's twisted the narrative for his benefit, had I not reacted the way I reacted, he wouldn't have been able to do that. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So there are things that I've had to look at and I've had to work on. And, you know, maybe it should have been a bit more of a politer conversation of like, hey, I didn't like what you did here, there. But, you know, like your dad, I was always ready to... to go.
Kick off.
Hence, my oldest son is very much like, kind of like you said, you know, non-confrontational, very sort of like, I just want
to... Everyone to be friends, it all to be nice.
Yeah.
Myself and my mum spent all the time working in my dad's pub just fucking trying to dissolve the conflict he created in the customers.
Yeah.
They'd shout and scream at him, at customers for wanting another slice of turkey and all this kind of stuff. What do you think? It's a fucking charity. They just came in for a carvery dinner.
my oldest son is very much kind of like, okay, daddy, keep your voice.
Yeah.
He's very like that. Now, the second one. He's
double up on you, isn't he?
He's a bit similar to me. Yeah. But that's why I've put him in kickboxing and jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
I've put him in a lot of things that can just discipline him in that way.
Mm.
You know. And then there's two more. They're kind of too young to kind of, you know, two more kids. But, yeah.
Have you ever been scared for your life?
Yeah.
Can you tell us about it?
Well, there was when I was younger. Where I grew up, there's a lot of scrapes and things that we got into, and I was around people that were shooting and getting shot and stabbing and getting stabbed, and It was stuff that I always avoided. Not like I was just out there dodging bullets and all that, but I mean, like, I was kind of the guy that just wasn't involved in. I was with them, but I wasn't involved in that stuff. But there was one time where I got chased down through Leicester, from Hippodrome through Leicester Square, by about 30 knife-wielding Filipinos and stuff like that. And they were just like, I knew people that they had stabbed and chopped and shit before. So if they had got me, I would not have been nice. So there was that. And there was a few situations like that. A friend of mine got shot stepping on someone's trainers, and, you know, just like, but then when this happened, I was scared for my life as well, because I was just like, I was like, I'm out of here. I was just, I'm done. Mm. And so I wasn't scared for my life, but I intended to not be around anymore. Mm. You know what I mean? And I've the personality that I have, I've never had those sorts of thoughts. Never crossed my mind. No matter what had happened, I'm like, fuck it. You know what I mean? We'll find a way. But this situation, being cool.
You mean the one you're in currently?
Yeah. Well, not now. It's 2 years, isn't it? But initially, like, being called all those things and people saying, oh, this, he's done this and that. And like,
that was worse than being chased by 30 knife-wielding people?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And how did you pull yourself out of that and get back in the game?
Well, I mean, I stayed silent for a year. I didn't communicate with anyone for a year.
But it sounds like you're the kind of person that would want to come out and fight, or, you know. And
I did, but number one, you just couldn't. Anything you said was twisted. That a statement was put out saying, I'm sorry if I've ever upset anyone. And they were like, well, he's sorry. He's guilty then. Right, it's like, well, hold on. No, I'm still sorry if I ever upset anyone. It's like, it's a different, you're not saying I've done it. And also I've done all these things.
Yeah. You could be sorry for something happening even if you didn't do it.
100%, right. So, you know, but it was the barrage. It was like, I was seeing all these things that I'm supposed to have done and said and this, that and the other. And, you know, I'm not laughing at the situation, but I was seeing all these crazy things. He takes all for jobs. He does this. That's bullshit. But once the narrative was there, it was just people were just saying everything. And I was like, I got children. I've got a mother, I've got a family. I've got 7 aunts, female cousins. I've got a wife. And they're just making you out to be this absolute fucking goon, this villain. And that was worse than anything. That was worse than absolutely anything. And knowing, and they make you believe it. In your head, you start to think, fucking hell. I think they call it gaslighting. You're reading these things and you're like, well, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. And it never happened like that. And that didn't happen. But then you're kind of like, did it? You're like, am I some sort of fucking Jekyll and Hyde that I don't remember suddenly? And you're like, you know, I was getting told I did things, and then literally I had people going through things and I'm like, you weren't even there. But I couldn't remember. Like, I just was gone. It was just gone. It was the worst ever. And so that was, and you know in your head, you know, I said they're gaslighting you, you're believing, but in your heart, you know, like in my heart, I knew. I was like, there's no way anyone can ever say that I've done X, Y, and Z, because I know I haven't done it. But there was so much barrage of stuff. You're just like, and then you're almost zombified. I literally was like, my mind was like a Rolodex. I was going through every interaction I'd ever had with people. In my, you know, I worked as a gym instructor, lifeguard, personal trainer. I've been around women my whole life. And suddenly you just think, shit, that time I stretched that woman's hamstring and my foot touched her ankle, or my arm touched her ankle, or my hand touched her. Is she going to say, you know, you just go mad. It's the worst thing ever. I would not wish it on anyone, ever. Ever. So for me, those were times where I thought my life was in danger or whatever. But now, you know, I'm just trying to move on, bro. Mm. Just trying to move on and look after my kids and create what I create. And hopefully there are people that see this or see some of the others and just go, why did we do that? Or, you know, why did we pull his shows? Or why did we do this? Or even go, do you know what? It's time for a second chance. And that's not me saying second chance because I think there was a first chance, but clearly everybody else does. So it's like, at what point, when you haven't even been punished for anything because there's no substance or whatever, at what point does the moral high ground of people who decided they're judge and jury now, at what point do they go, okay, you've had enough punishment, come back in. Mm. You know what I mean? Because I think, had I done anything, I wouldn't have been in jail for 2 years. So what the fuck's happening? Do you know what I mean?
Mm. What would you like your kids to think about you or to say about you?
Not what these fuckers have said about me. Nah. That's for damn sure. I want them to know that I was a present dad and I was a good dad and that I was around and that I was a good man. Because ultimately, I know I am. You know, that doesn't stop you from falling out with people. Life is life. Although, particularly now, I try to fall out with less people. I just don't have time for it.
Yeah.
But I know I'm a good person. Always have been. I give people the shirt off my back. I've always helped as many people as I can, to my detriment, because a lot of those people are people that ended up doing this. But I can't let that change me. I'm always going to help people if I can, because that's just who I am. Mm. I might be a bit more selective, but but that's just who
but
I am.
How can you ever know anyway?
You can't know.
No.
So you just have to be... That doesn't make you perfect, but you just have to be the best person you can be.
Mm.
And I've always tried to be that. Mm. You know, flaws and all.
Yeah.
You know, and when people highlight a flaw, you go, okay. And you try to remove that flaw and you just try and be better.
Mm.
You know, and that's all I've ever tried to do.
We always finish on a quick fire round.
Go.
And we do some of the questions that are the same.
Yeah.
And this one...
Is it one word answers or what is it?
Nah, just... Just letting you know that anytime you're ready to go, you can just shorten your answers down.
Okay.
Taking the heat out of you.
Got it.
Like, yeah. £1 million cash there now, or 1 million new engaged Noel Clark fans on social media. Which do you take and why?
Take the fans.
Mm.
Just the engagement. It gets my whatever I'm doing out to more people.
What would you say is your...
I need the money right now, to be honest, but yeah. I'll take the fans.
Well, that's long-term thinking, isn't it? You, because a lot of people say the cash, no. And I'm always amazed.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
You can earn that.
Yeah. But surely out of 1 million engaged fans, you can earn more than 1 million quid cash.
100%,
yeah. Yeah. Mm. I'm glad you said that. Yeah, most people take the cash.
Yeah, why would you take the cash?
Yeah.
That's short-term thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cash, yeah. Spend it all.
Yeah, and then you're left with nothing.
4 followers on social media.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, fuck that. Mm. Anyway, yeah, your next one. Go.
What would you say is your biggest regret?
Interestingly, my biggest regret is helping the amount of people I've helped, although I wouldn't change it.
Wow. What's your biggest failure?
My biggest failure is not being empathetic enough.
What's one ray of unexpected light that's come through the storm?
My baby. Not my cousin, he's waving over there. You're a close second. The baby.
Why?
Saved me.
Mm.
Saved me. Without that kid, I don't know. I don't know.
What's one thing that you think is really wrong in the world that you would like to change? If you could have to change, the power to change, what would it be?
These motherfucking journalists that just want to cut through. I want to go back to the old, I want to find the moment that journalists decide they're not going to be have integrity and become cunts. I want to find that moment and just pull it out like a thread. Excuse my language, you're going to have to beep that, aren't you?
Well, we have to beep most of it now. Yeah. and we are a sexual worker to the algorithms.
Yeah, what was it? I forgot the question. Huh?
What's one thing that's wrong in the world you'd like to change?
Yeah, that want, I want integrity back. That's the short way. That's a short way of saying it.
This show is called Disruptors.
I was called a disruptor.
What does that mean to you, that word?
Exactly what it says. When I got my TV deal, short answer, when I got my TV deal.
You can do a long one if you want.
They said to me, TV is too samey, it's too safe. We want a disruptor and we heard you are a disruptor. And that was the most beautiful thing to hear, because being a disruptor for so long, it was always like, oh, not him, not him, not him. And then for them to go, we want someone who's different, was beautiful. And then I was different. And they loved it. And then they turned on me one day.
What's your legacy going to be?
Disruptor.
Perfect for the show, then.
Disruptor, 100%. That's who I've been a disruptor since I was a kid. I don't know why. I do not know why. A lot of times people read these books like The Secret, or they do these affirmations and they do all these things, and they listen to these podcasts and stories about visualization and self-belief and all this kind of stuff. And people have always said to me, you don't need to read that. You don't need to watch it. You don't need to read it. You don't need to do it, because I've always had it. Mm. And of course, when people don't like it, they call you arrogant. They call you, you know, every fucking word under the sun, because they can't understand the level of self-belief that you have to have, because you have to have it and you have to believe it. Mm. When I tell people that I think I'm the best, it's not because I believe I'm better than you. It's because I believe I can be. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Mm. Like, I don't think I'm not better than you. I eat, sleep, and go just like, excuse me, same as you. Mm. But I believe I can be. Mm. Self-belief. And then they'll hate me for it, and then go read their book about manifestations and go like, you have to believe you can be the best. And they'll go, listen to all that shit. And then they'll see someone else with it and they go, I hate him.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know Andrew Tate, or know who he is?
I know who he is.
Yeah. Do you think, in a way, his journey he's gone on the last few months, similar to yours?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think some of his views are extreme. Mm. I kind of don't know why he feels the need to go as far as he does, bearing in mind that he has the following he has.
Do you think he got the following he has because he went that far?
Yeah, maybe.
And how do you stop?
Maybe it's more strategic than we all know. What I think locking someone up like that without
no charges
due
again.
Process is not the world we should be living in. He may have done that stuff, I don't know. Mm. I wasn't there. Thank God. Can you imagine if I was fucking up? Jesus Christ. So I don't know what's real and what's not.
Well, no one does at the moment. Right? He wasn't even questioned or charged, but
you should not be. We should not be in a world where you can lock someone up for that amount of time without knowing. We should not be in a world where what can happen to me can happen. It's all fine. Everyone's fine until it happens to them.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, so that's about as much as I know about him.
I have this theory why all this shit is happening. Let me know what you think. It's because people have had it too fucking easy for a few decades. You know, there's been no real wars. Life's been easy. What is it they say? You know, good times creates weak people.
Yeah.
Weak people create hard times. Hard times create good people.
Yeah, bad times make better men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the generation's fault. Sometimes I look at my kids, so privileged, and I think it's not their fault.
Oh, man, yeah.
It's mine. Oh, don't, but you can't lecture them like when I was a kid.
I could speak another hour on them little fuckers, man. Like, trust me. When I'm to, like, go take the bins out or whatever, I can't. I'm in a game. I'm like, you're in a fucking game. Mate, you better cancel
my
that
son
thing.
I'm online,
daddy. I'm online, daddy.
Yeah.
You better cancel that fucking thing. That thing went. I'm in a game, yeah.
Yeah, so what do you think about that? Maybe it's just been a bit easy for the last few decades.
I mean, I think it's more nuanced than that. I can't disagree, but I think there's more. I think the lockdown situation didn't help.
No.
I really didn't. A friend of mine said that a lot of people's minds kind of went a bit off during that, and I didn't really buy into it. And then all this stuff happened, and I was like, actually, that drove people a little bit crazy. Yeah. The whole need to be seen and need to be heard and need for attention came from not being seen for two fucking years. Came from not being heard for two fucking years. Came from being isolated and lonely and then everyone came out and it was like, see me, hear me. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that was a lot to do with everything as well. And it's a tough one.
Mm. So final one, your top says human race. Is that a brand or a message?
It's a brand, apparently.
Oh, I don't know McQueen and Louboutin. They're the only two brands I know.
Fucking hell, Charlie Big Trousers. I only know McQueen and Louboutin. Fucking hell, man.
All right, maybe I sounded like a dick then, but we won't cut it out.
No,
we won't cut it out.
Jesus.
Thanks for making me look like a cock on my own show.
That's all right, your Louboutin jeans, yeah? Fucking hell, man. All right. Jesus Christ. Have you got people listening? I only like Louboutin.
I only know. I didn't say like.
Okay,
I said
fair enough.
No.
I take it all back.
I'm not.
No, apparently it was a Christmas
present. I see all these
brands
and I don't understand what they are.
No, I didn't either. So for me, it's a message. For me,
well,
it's
that's
a message.
Why I asked.
For me, it is a message because, you know what, no matter all our differences, no matter the things we say and do and all this kind of stuff, like ultimate, and yeah, there are evil people and whatever, but essentially we're a human race, man. Yeah. We should fucking like nut up and just fucking learn to get on and try to get on and have balance about
nut
things.
Nut up and get on, I like
yeah,
that.
That's alpha male shit. I should. That's toxic. That's a toxic saying. It's a toxic saying. Don't say it. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I think we should just all try and just stuck in like, let's can't we all just get along, yeah, is the phrase?
Yeah.
But apparently it's a label. Apparently it's Pharrell Williams' label.
Right. I'll
you know, Pharrell Williams, yeah, dropped like, beautiful.
Yeah.
It's his label, apparently.
Yeah.
But it was a Christmas present, so I don't, I got a nice pink one as well. Pink hoodie. Yeah.
What are you working on now that you can tell us
about? I'm writing. I can't really tell you specifics because there are no, as I said, there isn't avenues like there were before, but I'm writing, I'm creating. There are people that are starting to gravitate, you know, 2 years on, people are kind of like, okay, well, all right, let's think about things. So things are, there are things that are starting, there are phone calls that are starting to happen, there are reach outs that are starting to happen. To be honest, mostly from America and other places, but things are happening that I can't talk about, and you know, they haven't necessarily led to work per se, but I'm working, I'm writing, I'm creating, I'm coming up with shows and films, I'm writing pictures and ideas and scripts, and as I said, these things are the best things I've written. I'm looking at what's on and I'm saying, well, that's missing, I'll just do something like that, and so I'm just creating.
And where can we follow you? What, where do you not do fuck TikToks?
So I'm on Twitter at @NoelClark.
Yeah.
I'm on Instagram at @NoelClark. I'm on Facebook at @NoelClarkOfficial, I think. I don't fucking know. Yeah. You just type my name, you'll find it. And I'm on TikTok at @NoelClarkX. I think you can also search Player 2. Oh, I'm on Be Real as well, which is a thing where you be real and you sort of do a picture and then it doesn't opposite picture. I don't really know what that one is. But I'm on it. I'm on it.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Because it does an opposite picture. So if I took a picture of me now, it would also take a picture of Harry and your jawline over there at the same time. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So I'm on that too.
Yeah.
At @NoelClark.
I've really enjoyed this, Noel. It's been
so
fucking great.
So have I.